is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, and welcome everybody to another episode of the live broadcast. I'm just enjoying this more and more, getting together with you guys on Sunday night. I don't know what it is about Sunday night. It's just an interesting time of the week. I sit here, I clean off my desk, get planned for my plan going for the next week, and enjoy getting together and maybe taking a look at what happened in the prior week, what's happening ahead. And we've got a really, really great show for you tonight. In just a couple of moments, we're going to have, as a guest, IRS problem solver Daniel Pilla. And Dan Pilla has been a guest on my radio shows and even on my TV show over the years. And if you're somebody that has a problem with the IRS, maybe you're someone who is in a situation where you owe money to the IRS that you can't pay. You have a tax debt. You're trying to work out a settlement. Maybe the IRS is threatening you with garnishing your paycheck or levying your bank account. All of this may seem scary, but there are ways of working this out in a positive way for all parties concerned. And Dan Pilla is going to be with us in just a moment to talk about all of this, and we're going to be getting him on the line here momentarily. All right, a lot of things going on. I'll tell you what, I was exhausted today, and the reason why is just my crazy week. I said to my wife, why am I so tired? And then I started thinking back about my week, and it was a busy week. I did a radio interview on Friday with Moody Radio on the This Is the Day program. Then I was on another radio program on Wednesday morning on the morning drive with Moody Radio in Chicago. And then I was on Point of View Nationwide Radio on Tuesday, all of that on top of my other responsibilities. And then last night, Saturday night, I made a two-hour drive over to Orlando and was just a wonderful evening. Some folks from the Apopka Assembly of God that we got together with. And they were so gracious. In fact, they realized it was my birthday this week, which, yes, January the 23rd is my birthday. If anybody's interested, I'll be 49 years old on Wednesday. And they even had a birthday cake for me. I guess the gentleman who set the whole thing up went to my website and figured out it was my birthday. And they even had a birthday cake for me. They asked me to come out to discuss my brand new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. And it was just a wonderful night with some of the folks over at Apopka Assembly of God. Thank you so much for inviting me. And all these media appearances this week were also related to my brand new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. And the book is available, by the way, on Amazon.com if you want to grab a copy. It's available as a 170-page paperback book. Or if you would rather get it immediately and get it on one of those Kindle devices, you can do that as well. Just go over to Amazon.com and you can just search for the title, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Well, before we bring our guest on, I wanted to just review with you some of the recent blog posts that I've been making available over at my blog, which is blog.christianmoney.com. And hey, I should say this, if you're a new listener to the program, we do the show live on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern. But if you can't catch it live every week, we are available as a podcast as well. And you can grab the podcast over at iTunes. You can just search my name, Jim Paris, or the name of the show, Jim Paris Live. Or you can check out the website, ChristianMoney.com. At the very top of the page, you'll see one of the navigation buttons there. It says podcast. You can click on that, and that links to the four different podcasts that I do. That's right. There are actually four different podcasts. This one is produced every single week. So there are multiple podcast episodes to listen to every single month, and they're all free. Now, unlike a lot of programs where they want you to pay to be a member and all of that nonsense, all of our podcasts are free for download and listening. Now, let me share with you just some of the new content that we have over at the blog, because there's some really good stuff over here that you should take a look at. First of all, the most recent post, if you go to blog.christianmoney.com, is actually the audio of that interview that I did with Point of View Radio. And that is a one-hour interview. There were some commercial breaks in there, so I think it came out to be about 45 minutes in length. You can listen to that entire interview. Just there's a player right on the page, or you can download that as well. But that's How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, and that's available over at blog.christianmoney.com. And then we did an article this week, which I have to tell you, it's probably been the biggest spike in traffic that we've seen in a long time. And the title of the article over at blog.christianmoney.com is Christians Opt Out of Obamacare with Medical Expense Sharing. It's a really interesting article, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the tax penalty for not having insurance, the health insurance mandate as it's called, that penalty actually begins next year and gets fully phased in by the year 2016. And, you know, depending on your income and all of that, you could be subject to fines, which are in the thousands of dollars. But what we get into in this article is how you can join one of these Christian medical expense sharing programs, and you can actually opt out of Obamacare. It's pretty neat option. And I share with you in this article what I'm doing right now, which is I'm a part of a medical sharing program, a Christian medical sharing program, and I only pay about $100 a month. It's actually $120 a month, I stand corrected. And I'm carrying a higher deductible of $10,000, but even if you wanted to carry a lower deductible, like around $1,000, you'd only be paying about $240 a month. So this is a really good alternative, and it is legally a way to get out of the Obamacare mandate. It's absolutely approved as an option to not have to have traditional health insurance. So that's something you want to look at, again, over at blog.christianmoney.com. And then one other new piece of content we have for you, which, again, I kind of hit the jackpot 2 weeks in a row, because this is the article I wrote a couple of weeks ago. And, again, this one has had a huge, huge spike of traffic. It's called 13 Ways to Make Money with Your iPhone, Smartphone, or Kindle Fire. And this is a really neat idea, and it's something that I just recently learned about. There are these apps that you can put on your smartphone or your mobile device, like an iPad, and these apps actually pay you money. And some of it's like you'll just sit there and watch videos, which are like 1 minute or 30-second videos that are promoting new apps that are available, and they're paying you like a nickel each time you watch a video. That's just one example. There's some of these. One of these apps, you go to the grocery store and you scan barcodes, and you get paid so much for each barcode that you scan in. They give you specific products to go to the grocery store and scan. Another one is a way to get someone needs an errand to be run. They can post it on this app, and maybe they'll pay you $30 to go to the grocery store and do their grocery shopping for them. All of this stuff, we put it all together. I don't think anybody ever actually did this, so we did. We put it all on one page for you, and it's 13 ways to make money with your iPhone, smartphone, or Kindle Fire. Now, one other quick thing to mention before we bring on our guest. I did get kind of an emergency message from Kendall Carver, who was our guest 2 weeks ago, the Cruise Victims Organization, about another new case of someone that just disappeared on a cruise ship. And we did put that on our Twitter feed, so you can check that. It was put up on the Twitter feed, I think Thursday or Friday. You can find that by going to twitter.com/James L. Paris. That's twitter.com/James L. Paris. All right, well, it's time to bring our guest on. I'll be honest with you, I have not talked to Dan Pilla in probably 10 years, but he was a regular on my radio shows, and he was even a guest one time on my television show. And we welcome to the program. Are you with us tonight from Minnesota, Dan?
I am, James. Yes, I am. I'm near the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Hear your voice again. It's been way too many years since we've talked.
Well, it has. It's been an awful long time.
Yeah. Now, tell me, for people that don't know what your background is, I only knew of you years ago as an author, a guy that would speak on this topic and write books. But I understand that you actually also help people directly with the IRS, with these IRS problems. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do. And is that kind of a new twist to what you're offering, or have you always offered that side of things?
No, I've always offered that side of things, Jim. Just to give you some background for your listeners that don't know me, I'm a tax litigation consultant, and what that means is I deal with people that have problems with the Internal Revenue Service. I don't do tax return preparation. We do a little bit of it, but that's not our primary calling. Primarily what we do is help folks that have problems with the IRS. Maybe you're going through an audit. Maybe you've got a tax debt that you owe and you can't pay. Maybe you're faced with liens and levies, that sort of thing, property seizures. I help people with all of those kind of problems. And Jim, that was where I started my career, and that's the primary focus of my career. During the course of that process, you know, I've been doing this for about 33 years now, and during the course of that time, I've written a number of books, self-help books, to help people with their IRS problems. So you and I got acquainted as a result of the books that I've written, but the main focus of my activity has always been representing people with tax problems, and that's, of course, how I got the background to deal with the IRS in the first place.
All right, very good. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to give you a chance tonight to get some free advice. You know, you've got a situation right now with the IRS, and you're trying to figure out an answer to that problem. You've got two ways to get in touch with us here tonight. You can send me an email to jim@christianmoney.com. But I'd really prefer that you call in, because then if there's a follow-up that Dan needs to ask you about your situation, that would be better. And if you want to call us, the toll-free number is 888-287-3316. Again, that's 888-287-3316. Your questions for IRS problem solver Dan Pilla. Dan, most of our listeners are listening on mobile devices and over the computer, so most of our questions do come in by email, but maybe we will get some calls tonight. 888-287-3316. I want to start by asking you about the Obamacare health care mandate and these tax penalties, which I'm really confused about this, because they say that they're tax penalties, but the IRS will not really be able to collect them in a traditional way. Can you maybe shed some light on all of that?
Well, yeah, exactly, James. And you've just hit the nail on the head. You know, the penalties are imposed under the Internal Revenue Code. There's two primary penalties. The first one is the penalty that's assessed against employers for not offering insurance or for offering what is considered to be unaffordable insurance to their employees. That penalty applies if you've got 50 or more full-time equivalent employees, and the dollar amounts can be pretty substantial. The second penalty is the penalty that's assessed against individuals, Jim, and the individual penalty, sometimes referred to as the individual mandate, requires every citizen in the United States to have medical insurance, and people have to spend, and this is where the law gets a little hazy, because you're obligated to provide insurance for yourself and your family members, and there's an individual penalty that applies there. Now, where it gets a little bit tricky is the law does not allow the Internal Revenue Service to collect the penalty through levies and seizures like they can a traditional tax liability. So if you owe the IRS money and you don't pay it, you know, they follow certain procedures, and eventually they can seize your bank account, your paycheck, your Social Security tax liability, your automobile, your retirement fund. I mean, basically anything they can take. When we're talking about these medical insurance penalties, the law specifically provides that they cannot file tax liens with respect to collecting the penalties, nor can they use the IRS's quote-unquote levy powers to collect the money. But what they can, and so, Jim, I think this has given folks a sense of false security that, you know, okay, if I don't pay the penalty, so what, they can't collect it anyway. But that's not exactly true, because the IRS still has offset power. And so what I mean by that is, you know, there's about 85% of the people in the country that file their tax returns and get tax refunds. And if you owe money, let's say you file your tax refund for, or your tax return, I should say, for 2012, and the IRS owes you a refund of $2,000. And at the time you file your tax return, you owe $500 to the IRS for a prior tax year. Well, they'll take that $500 out of your current 2012 refund. So instead of getting $2,000 back, you get $1,500 back. Well, they can do that, Jim, to collect the medical insurance penalty. They can use their offset powers to collect the penalty. So if you've got a tax refund coming back, but you owe this penalty because you haven't gotten the quote-unquote acceptable insurance, they'll offset the refund.
So they can still get their money that way, which, like you said, a lot of people don't even realize that, because the way this is being presented is, well, it's sort of a tax, but it's not really a tax, and the truth is the IRS can't really collect it. Well, most people get a tax refund. This will come out of your tax refund, and they can absolutely do that. Now, what is your understanding of what do you get for that penalty? So let's say a person says, well, you know what, I'd rather pay that penalty than to go out and buy insurance. Maybe they want to do that because they're younger and they don't really feel like they have an insurance need. Did they actually get anything for paying that penalty? Like, does that give them some sort of access to health care for free, or are they still uninsured, just paying the penalty as a fee for not having insurance, and they're still on their own with regards to paying for their medical expenses?
Well, I think you're on your own if you don't have the insurance, Jim, and you get hit with the penalty. Now, here's the thing. The vast majority of states out there, and this is one of the things that has confused the heck out of me about the medical insurance debate. Yeah, there's unemployed or uninsured people out there. There's no question about that. But every state in the union, and certainly Minnesota, has state laws that require county hospitals to treat people that are uninsured. And so, you know, you can still get medical services, through these county hospitals, at least in the state of Minnesota. That's absolutely true. And I just know it's true in other states as well. And so, you know, folks are going to get their medical care. But if you don't have the insurance, you don't have the insurance. And that's, of course, why the penalty is imposed.
Now, here's our first question coming in. And I knew we were going to get questions like this. This comes in from someone who's sending an email, and I cannot even believe this question, but here we go. Has not filed a federal tax return since the 1980s and wants to know what they can do to resolve this. I hear this kind of thing every day, and I don't know who these people are. Dan, do you hear stories like this all the time? And what does somebody do? What, 25 years? They're saying they haven't filed a tax return.
Yeah, you know what, Jim? This is the kind of question I get all the time, because the IRS estimates that there's between 12 to 15 million people out there, just like this emailer here right now, that haven't filed tax returns for one or five or, in this case, 25 years. And it is not at all uncommon for this to happen. And I deal with these people all the time. Because, you know, frankly, these folks are most of these people are not tax criminals. They just got behind for one reason or another. You know, something happened where it put them behind the eight ball. Maybe there was a natural disaster, fire, flood, hurricane. Could have been a death in the family, a serious illness. Any number of things that go wrong in people's lives that get them into a position where they have to make a choice between paying their taxes and feeding their families. And they end up, you know, doing the responsible thing, which is to feed the family in the first instance and then deal with the taxes later. Unfortunately, these people get overwhelmed by the problems and frankly the fear that comes along with not filing a tax return and not having the money to pay, and pretty soon 1 year turns into 3 years, and then all of a sudden you've got this pattern, and it can go back, as we see here now, an awful long way. The first advice that I would give to this person is you know, the only way to stop this problem is to stop the problem. And what I mean by that is you've got to stop the pattern of delinquencies. And this is the perfect time to do it, because here we are on the threshold of a new year. You've got your 2012 tax return that's due to be filed here in a couple of months. You can file the 2012 tax return and pay the 2012 taxes and then get yourself back into the pattern of compliance. Now the question is, what do you do about this 25-year history of non-filing, this pattern of delinquency that we've got here? The good news there is that, generally speaking, Jim, there's certain exceptions to this rule, but generally speaking, the IRS is only going to go back 6 years to collect a delinquent tax return. So right off the bat, this person thinks they're dealing with 25 years worth of tax problems. That's probably not the case. They probably only need to go back 6 years from 2011. So we're talking about 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. You go back to 2006 to get those returns prepared and get them filed, and now you've got yourself back into compliance with the tax code, and now you can negotiate something with the IRS. I would recommend to this emailer, Jim, my package called the Tax Amnesty Package. And you and I have talked about this for years. I wrote this book originally in 1992, and I've rewritten the book about 8 or 9 times now, and just did it again last year. And so it's completely revised and updated for all the changes that have taken place here recently. And so this will guide this emailer and anybody in this situation step by step through the process of resolving this situation.
And the website for Daniel Pilla, where you can get all of his materials and more information, is taxhelponline.com. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, that's exactly right, taxhelponline.com. And I've got a phone number, too, that folks can call during regular business hours. We're not open tonight, but during regular business hours is 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X.
800-34-NO-TAX, or the website is taxhelponline.com. Now, I have one follow-up, and then we do have a caller. We're going to get to you, caller, in just a moment. Again, if you would like to join us as a caller with your question for IRS problem solver Daniel Pilla, 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. Dan, how does it happen? I'm just curious. How can a person not file for that many years? We're talking about somebody that maybe hasn't filed in 25 years. Doesn't the IRS have computers and systems, and aren't they monitoring everything that we do as far as 1099s and W-2s and bank accounts and all of these things? How could a person go that long and not be detected by the IRS? It seems impossible to me.
Well, first of all, Jim, if you're a W-2 wage earner, if you're working for somebody else and you're getting a W-2 from that employer, and every single year, of course, that W-2 is sent to the IRS, it is highly unlikely that a person can go 25 years without the IRS detecting it. And so, you know, regular W-2 wage earners are quite often tracked down long before 25 years go by. Likewise, if you're a self-employed person and you're receiving 1099 income from third-party sources, if that 1099 income is sufficient in the IRS's mind to trigger a filing requirement, you know, you're exactly right. Those computers are going to track that, and they're going to eventually catch up with you. But if you're a self-employed person, Jim, and you're deriving self-employment income completely independently, you know, let's just say you've got a car repair garage someplace, and people bring their car into you, and you fix their car, and you know, you charge them $650, and then they drive away, and they pay you a check, or they pay you however they pay you, it's not necessarily true that you're going to get a 1099. Now, you know, recent changes to the tax law have tightened those screws down a bit. For example, if you're doing business with a credit card company now, as a business, if you clear sales through a credit card company, that credit card company has to issue a 1099 to the IRS to report how much they've paid your business in credit card sales. So this is now another...
You know, I'm glad you mentioned it, because that may explain something. There's a little town about 30 minutes from here that I absolutely love called St. Augustine, Florida. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I never have, but I know about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really neat little town right on the ocean and all that. Recently, a number of my favorite little restaurants and coffee shops there have put signs up that they're only taking cash now. And it just happened in the last few months, and I'm like, why is this? I mean, why all of a sudden do I have to carry around all this cash up here and I can't use my credit card? Could it be that businesses are trying to avoid this IRS tracking with what you're just saying?
Well, that's certainly possible, Jim. I can't speak for each individual business. There's no question that that's possible. But I'll tell you the other thing that's going on with these small businesses, particularly in these areas that are you know, hit by economic problems. You know, the credit card charges carry a 3 or 4% fee, and some cards are even more than that. And particularly in a restaurant business where it's highly competitive, and you know, the profits might not necessarily be so great, the profit margins, they might just be saying, listen, this is a way to cut 3 or 4% out of our expenses without affecting our sales at all. And so that, you know, it could be an issue there. But you know, it just depends on the individual situation for sure.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, let's take some phone calls here. 888 287 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. Your IRS problem. You can bring that up with IRS problem solver Daniel Pilla. His website is taxhelponline.com. And we're also taking emails. Send your email question to jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. All right, we're going out to the West Coast. Los Angeles, Marie is with us. Say hello to Dan Pilla.
Hi. Yes, I have a question for you.
Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a friend who's getting divorced, and her husband is not paying taxes like he should or hasn't kept up with his taxes. Can she protect herself from paying the taxes that he's responsible for? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's certainly
okay,
possible.
Thank you, Marie.
Don't disappear yet, Marie. I got a question.
Oh, stay with us.
Okay. Okay.
Is she still there?
Is your friend in the state of California?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, California is a community property state. So right off the bat, you've got a problem there because, you know, she has a vested half interest in his income, and he's got a vested half interest in her income. And so in a community property state, if you do a married filing jointly tax return, the tax gets split down the middle anyway. And if you don't do that, then you have to do married filing separately. But each person has to claim half of the other person's income, and so it ends up getting split down the middle anyway. And so you've got a problem with that. But that aside, in a situation where the couple's getting divorced, if they're legally separated or divorced, living apart for more than 12 months, then there is such a thing as what's called a separate spouse election. And that is to say that the otherwise joint tax returns that they file together, which makes them jointly liable for the tax liability, can be split so that you can pay the taxes only on your own income. And that is very, very helpful for a person that's had, you know, less income than the husband, for example. Wife has had less income from the husband or perhaps not even any income if she was a housewife during this period of time, and that can be very helpful. The relief is limited because of the community property state issues. And so if she gets stuck with the tax liability, she's going to have to be aware of the negotiation solutions that are available in dealing with the Internal Revenue Service, where she can go in there and say, you know, look, guys, I owe you this money, but really it was my husband's income and I shouldn't be responsible for it. And in that situation, she could do what's called an offering compromise, where she can potentially go in and negotiate a settlement with them.
All right. Thank you, Marie. Is that the same thing, Dan, as innocent spouse?
Well, it's under the innocent spouse umbrella, Jim. The innocent spouse laws, as they're written now, give you three different avenues of relief. Traditional innocent spouse relief says, look, the tax liability is attributable strictly to my husband. It's income from his business, income that I didn't know about, and I signed a joint tax return, but I didn't know that there was income missing from the return, or I didn't know that there were bogus deductions claimed on the tax return, and I didn't benefit from that income, and you know he kept the money from me. That's traditional innocent spouse relief. What I'm talking about here with Marie was the so-called separate spouse election, where former spouses that are divorced, legally separated, otherwise living apart for 12 months, can take that joint tax return and split it into two. That's what we call the separate spouse election. And then there's a third potential innocent spouse relief, or a third potential channel of relief, I should say, under this innocent spouse umbrella called equitable relief. And what that says is, even if the rules that cover the first two elements don't apply to me, if I've got unusual circumstances somehow, but those unusual circumstances dictate that I shouldn't be responsible for the tax, then you can get relief that way also.
All right. We've got some good questions coming up after the break here. We've got someone that wants to know about identity theft and their tax returns. Someone else with a question about these companies like Taxmasters that got in trouble for not doing what they said they could do as far as helping people. Someone else wants to talk about 941 payroll taxes. So a lot of good questions here. We're going to take a break, and we're going to give you another chance to call here. Toll free, 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. My name is Jim Paris. My guest tonight is Daniel Pilla, IRS problem solver. His website, TaxHelp.com. online.com. And Dan, this is a 4-minute break, so if you want to get yourself a fresh cup of water or coffee or whatever you're drinking tonight, and we'll be back with you here in about 4 minutes.
Sounds good, Jim.
Hi, this is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. If you are interested in learning some new strategies for generating online income, check out my free training schedule at jimsfreetraining.com. That's jimsfreetraining.com. Whether you're just looking for part-time income or to build an internet business that can replace your full-time job, check out this free online workshop coming up this week. Register now at jimsfreetraining.com. The workshops are free, but are each limited to just 250 people. So take a minute now and reserve your space for my next free online workshop. That's jimsfreetraining.com. jimsfreetraining.com. Are you tired of hearing how the economy is doing so badly and how there are no opportunities? This is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you an opportunity that I first learned of a little over a year ago, right here in my own neighborhood. I was out walking my dog and saw someone cleaning a foreclosed house. And I struck up a conversation with them and actually found out that there is a business opportunity of cleaning out foreclosed homes for the banks. And these people don't make pennies. In fact, some of them make as much as $1,000 to $1,500 for 1 day of cleaning out foreclosed houses. Now, what's really neat about this opportunity is that the foreclosure crisis isn't going anywhere. So this is an opportunity that's going to be around for years to come. It's an interesting business opportunity, one that I think really does deserve your attention. And there's a website that you can go to get all of the details on this opportunity. It's called foreclosurecleaning.us. Now, maybe you want to do this just part-time, maybe just on the weekends or in the evenings. It's an opportunity that is very unique, and with everything that's happening in the economy today, it's something that's actually growing and expanding while many other things are drying up and withering. It's a unique opportunity, one that I think will give you a chance to maybe become self-employed, get out of the rat race, an opportunity to get into a whole new line of work, and it doesn't take very much money at all to start a business like this, and it doesn't take very much training. After all, you're just doing basic cleaning. To find out more about the exploding foreclosure cleaning business, check out the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us. Hi, this is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you something really unique that I ran across recently. It's an idea that I think would be very, very interesting to many of our listeners. How would you like to get paid to travel internationally and actually live in a foreign country for maybe a year or even longer? It's a unique opportunity, and it doesn't take a lot to get involved in this. The opportunity is that of teaching English as a foreign language. Now, I'm going to give you a website here that you can go to get more information on this. It's called MakeMoneyTeaching.us. That's MakeMoneyTeaching.us. Now, at the website, you're going to learn all about a unique opportunity where you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. Now, you don't have to go back to college, and it won't take you years to get this certification. In just a matter of a few weeks, you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. There are organizations that will actually pay you and actually pay your transportation costs as well to bring you into a foreign country. And you might live there for a year or longer. Many of the arrangements even include paid housing. Now, if you're someone that doesn't want to travel internationally, you can also take this same training and use this credential to teach right here in the United States or even over the internet using Skype. Take a couple of minutes today and check this out. It's definitely a very interesting opportunity that I think deserves your attention. Again, the website is MakeMoneyTeaching.us. That's MakeMoneyTeaching.us. Okay, we are back live, and my guest is Daniel Pilla. He's the author of numerous books on solving problems with the IRS, and you can get in touch with him by going to his website, TaxHelp.com. Online taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com, or the phone number again is 800-34-NO-TAX. Did I get that right, Dan?
Yeah, that's 1-800-34-NO-TAX, N-O-T-A-X. And, Jim, I'd like to comment. You know, we started the program off by talking about Obamacare and what the penalties are. On my website, I have a free report on the Obamacare plan, and it's a very detailed report on the tax penalties that apply, the tax raises, the tax increases that apply, and what people can expect from the Internal Revenue Service under Obamacare. And that's a free report, and so folks can go to my website and they can click on the resources tab, and that's a drop-down menu that takes you to reports and publications. And the Obamacare report is there. The Internal Revenue Service is the face of national health care.
Okay, very good. And just as far as monitoring your traffic, we usually have about 1,000 people listening live, and then it's thousands and thousands, tens of thousands that actually download this as a podcast. So you probably see most of the traffic to your site over the course of the next few days as people download this from iTunes. But a lot of good questions still coming in by email, so we're going to keep going with those. But if you want to interrupt the email questions with a phone call, we'll put you right on. So you're going to go before the email questions if you want to call us. If you've got a problem with the IRS right now, you're looking for some advice, some ideas on solving that, here's the number, toll-free, 888-287-3316. We'll put you right on the line. You'll talk to Joy. She'll put you on hold, and then you'll be talking to Daniel Pilla. 888-287-3316. 888-287-3316. Okay, somebody wants to know. All right, there's this commercial that I've seen for years. This guy has this huge beard, and he says, I'm with Tax Masters. Call me to solve your IRS problem. And then I read that he's in all kinds of trouble with the state of Texas, and supposedly they were charging people a lot of money and not doing what they said they would do. You hear these ads. I hear them on all kinds of different radio programs. How do you know who you can trust, like, in that realm, Dan? There's so many different companies out there, and everybody from Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity has got sponsors that they say are the trusted guy. How do you know who to go with when you've got a situation like that?
Yeah, that's a real good question, Jim, because there have been a lot of fly-by nights over the years. You know, Tax Masters, you named, is one of them. There was a lady out in California that called herself the tax lady, Ronnie Deutsch, that got in trouble and ended up getting
Ronnie Deutsch, yes, I remember that.
Yep, by the state of California. And then there was J.K. Harris, and they were all over the place. They ended up getting sued by 17 attorneys general. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem like a week that goes by that I don't get a call in my office from somebody that says, you know, Dan, I used this organization or that person, and I paid them $X thousand and tried to get some help, and you know, they didn't do what they said they were going to do, and I never got the help. And I call these people refugee clients, Jim, because they, you know, they bounce around from attorney to accountant to attorney to accountant, and often don't ever get any help. But you know, the thing you got to understand is this, that there's people that are lined up five and six deep to take thousands of dollars from folks that have tax problems for a solution. But the vast majority of people with tax problems, Jim, don't necessarily need professional help. They need professional they don't necessarily need professional representation. They need professional help and guidance, that's true, but not necessarily professional representation. Most problems can be solved by the individual if they know what they're doing. And, of course, vast majority of people don't have any idea what they're doing, and the system intimidates them. And that's why it's so important to get some resources like my book, for example, How to Get Tax Amnesty. Jim, this book was the first book that was written on the subject back in 1992. I was the first one out there that ever published any information at any level to help the public work their way through these problems. And I'll tell you something. That book is responsible for putting a lot of these tax professionals in business, because we sold so many of the books to tax pros, to attorneys and accountants, who then read the material and said, hey, I'm going to go into business doing this.
And over the years, when you were on my TV show, and we've sold those books as well for years, and I can't remember ever having anybody say anything but positive things about your materials. In other words, I don't know that I've ever heard of a Dan Pilla book coming back to our shipping department or anything like that. I mean, over all those years, Right. And it's definitely what I love about your book is it gets right into it. There's not a lot of fluff. I mean, the information is there. If you want a book that has this information, get his stuff. If you want a book that just, you know, gives you like 10 pages of introduction and then gives you the, you know, big story, that's not what you're going to get with Dan Pilla's books. These are books that, and they're the books, kind of books I love. You open it up and it's got the step-by-step, it's got the information, tells you what your rights are, chapter and verse, what you need to say when talking to the IRS. So get his stuff, taxhelponline.com. Let's take a caller now.
Jim, let me go on and say something one more
time. Yes,
sir. There's a lot of folks that say to themselves, listen, This is a big tax problem. I'm not going to try to read a book and solve my own tax problem. I owe $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 to the IRS. This is a big deal. Even in that situation, here's how the book will help you a lot. You asked me, you started the question out by saying, how do you know if you're dealing with somebody that knows what they're doing? If you read my book and you learn the language and you understand the concepts of what's going on here, now you can talk intelligently to an attorney or an accountant. And if they're telling you things that aren't talked about in the book, or they're saying things that are contrary to the book, you got to find somebody else.
Yeah, and even if you are using an expert like Dan saying, you need to be your own expert too. I mean, that's part of the whole process. Even if you don't feel like you want to talk to the IRS directly, if you at least have some of the basic information, you're going to know the person you're working with is doing a good job for you or not. All right, let's go to Maryland. And listening in Maryland tonight is Shante. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. How are you?
I'm doing good. Say hello to Dan Pilla.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm well, Shante. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay,
I'm calling because I have I used to be a real estate agent, and I became disabled. I have visual disability, and I had to go on disability. But prior to that, I had some couple years where I had some unresolved tax issues, and so I have about maybe $10,000 or $10,000 or $11,000, and I've had some dialogue with IRS, but you know, financially, I can't afford even to do the payment plan. I mean, they wouldn't even put me on a payment plan because my income is not sufficient.
Right.
But can you give me some advice of what I could do? I mean, I would like to settle or something, but I don't even know how I would go about doing that.
Well, there's a couple of steps to that I would consider, Shante. First of all, if the IRS is shaking the tree and they're trying to get money from you, even though you can't afford to make a payment, you need to press them for what's called uncollectible status. In my tax amnesty material, I talk about this as the life jacket program. And what I mean by that is if you are unemployed or underemployed and don't have the money to pay the IRS the back taxes and pay all your living expenses at the same time, then they will freeze the collection account through a program they call uncollectible status or currently not collectible. And what that means is they push the hold button on the collection machine. It stops all collection action. They get off your back and out of your face for at least a year, Shante. It's at least a year, and sometimes it's longer than that. Sometimes it can go on for 3 or 5 years, depending on whether your circumstances change or not. That gets them off your back and out of your face. Now, if you can get back on your feet during that period of time, or let's say a year or 2 years down the road, you get back on your feet, and now you can make a payment, okay, now you can step up and start resolving the situation. Now, having said that, I would say this. If you're disabled and your capacity to earn income is permanently changed, that is to say you're not going to earn the kind of money going forward that you did in the past because of this disability, you might qualify for the offer and compromise program, Shante, and that allows you to go in there and say, look, guys, I owe you $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, whatever it is. I can't pay this now. I'm not going to be able to pay it in the future because I just don't have the earning capacity that I used to have because of my disability. I can settle my case for, or I can pay you, let's say $1,200 or $1,500, or maybe it's only $1,000, or maybe it's $2,000. In that situation, based on your ability to pay, the IRS will accept less in full payment of the debt than you owe. They'll accept less than you owe in full payment of the debt if you can prove that what you're offering them is all you can afford to pay them.
Okay. Wow.
Does that help you, Shante?
Thank you so much.
All right,
you're welcome. And I'll just put a footnote on this, Jim. In May of last year, So not quite a year ago, the IRS made some additional changes to their offer and compromise program. And these changes are talked about in my tax amnesty material. So whoever orders that material gets my report on all these new changes as well that make this program even easier now to qualify for than it's ever been in the past.
Now, how does this work if somebody gets into uncollectible status, like you were mentioning to this last caller? How long can that, you said 3 to 5 years, but isn't there a point where taxes become what would be the term, statute of limitations, where you wouldn't owe the taxes after a certain number of years? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim, and it's a good point to bring up, because a lot of people think that once you owe the IRS money, you owe them money for the rest of your life, and they can chase you until you're dead. And that just simply is not true. There is a statute of limitations on collection, and it's 10 years from the date of the assessment. So just let me give you an example. Suppose you owe money for, let's just pick a year, tax year 2005. Well, if you owe money because you didn't pay the money when you filed your tax return, here's how that might work. Your 2005 tax return was filed sometime in April of 2006, right? You file it April of the year following the year in question. So your 05 tax return was filed in April of 06. When you file that return, it usually takes the IRS a month to 2 months, let's say, to assess the tax. And when I say assess it, I mean record it as a debt on their books, an official liability on their books. So once that debt is recorded on their books, it becomes an assessment. Let's say that happened June 1st, 2006. They would have 10 years from that date in which to collect the tax. If they can't collect within 10 years, they can't collect at all. Now, here's one of the problems with that statute of limitations. The time period, that 10-year time period, can be extended. It can't be extended by the IRS unilaterally, but certain things that you can do as a taxpayer can extend that statute. And most people don't realize that things they do to mitigate their problem can actually give the IRS more time to collect. And the most common way that happens is through a waiver where the IRS says to you, you know what, Jim, you know, you owe us a bunch of money. We want to give you a break here. We want you to sign this waiver. It'll give yourself more time to pay. Well, yeah, it gives you more time to pay, that's for sure, because it adds time to the collection statute of limitations. In the tax amnesty material, I have a chapter in there that deals with the statute of limitations and shows you exactly how to figure out when the time runs out.
Wow, that's good information. And again, his website is taxhelponline.com. And if you'd like to join us as a caller, you will go ahead of all of these email questions. So maybe you've sent an email and you're afraid I'm not going to get to yours. You want to call us, we're going to put you at the front of the line. 888-287-3316. If you're just tuning in, my name is Jim Paris. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website christianmoney.com. My guest tonight is IRS problem solver Dan Pilla. The toll-free number to call with your IRS problem tonight, 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. Okay, somebody's got a really long email here on the topic of 941 payroll taxes and something to do with a business that closed down, and now they owe money because it looks like they did not pay the taxes withheld from employees' paychecks as the business began to fail, and now they owe money to the IRS that should have been withheld from the paychecks. Where do they go now on this 941 payroll tax issue?
Yeah, well, for the benefit of the listeners, Jim, let me give you just a little bit of background on what happens here. If you're the owner of a business, a corporation that fails, and that corporation has employment tax debts, that is to say debts that are incurred because you withheld money from your employees' paychecks for their income taxes and their Social Security taxes, and you didn't pay that into the IRS, the IRS can actually reach through the corporate veil, pierce the corporate veil, as we say, reach through that and assess that tax liability against the responsible officers. The responsible officers are the persons in the corporation who are responsible to withhold, account for, and pay over to the IRS the trust fund taxes, but who did not do so. This is called a trust fund recovery penalty. So let's say, for example, you've got $10,000 worth of employment taxes in the form of withheld income and Social Security taxes from your employees that were not paid over. The IRS can make you personally responsible for that $10,000 liability, and they can collect it from your personal income and assets, even though the business is gone. So anybody getting into a business needs to understand that. Of course, Jim, most people never do until it's too late. But this emailer here, of course, has the problem. Now, once that trust fund recovery penalty is assessed against the individual, it becomes an individual tax debt fully collectible, just like any other tax debt would be collectible. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is every settlement program that the IRS offers individuals is also available in the case of these trust fund recovery penalties. So, for example, I talked about the uncollectible status program with our previous caller. That is available even though it's a trust fund tax. If this person can get set up on an installment agreement, one of the things that the IRS has greatly relaxed over the last 2 years is the rules for setting up an installment agreement. If you owe less than $50,000, Jim, and you can full pay the IRS within 72 months, they will rubber stamp a deal to set you up on an installment agreement. So that's available, even though we're talking about a trust fund tax. And the offer and compromise program, the settlement program that I talked about earlier, that is also available in the case of a trust fund recovery penalty.
All right. Now, I think somebody's mixing up two different terms here, but they want to know, what is the difference between an IRS lien and an IRS levy, and how long can it go for?
I wouldn't say they're mixing up the terms, but it is important to understand the difference because a lot of people don't know the difference, and, of course, that's what the emailer is asking. A federal tax lien is a claim that's filed by the IRS with the public record. They file it with the county recorder's office that says the United States government claims an interest in your property. It's a security interest. It's just like the bank filing a mortgage on your house to protect the note that it's given you to borrow the money to pay for the house in the first place. So think of a tax lien like a bank's mortgage. It goes on all your property and rights to property. It secures the IRS's claim to your property, but it does not transfer title to the property. That's an important distinction with the tax lien, Jim, is it does not shift ownership of your property from you to the IRS, okay? So that's the tax lien. It's a security claim only. The tax levy, that's different. That's the tool the IRS uses to separate you from your property. So if they levy your bank account, for example, they go in and they clean out your bank account and they take your money and convert it, you know, to the U.S. Treasury. If they seize your paycheck, same thing. They step into your employer's office and they say, no longer do you pay Mr. Smith his paycheck every week or every month. You pay it to the IRS. That's the levy. So the fundamental difference between the two things, Jim, the lien does not transfer title of property. The levy does. And if you're facing levies with the IRS, you need to take some action to get those levies stopped. Otherwise, the IRS will help itself to your paycheck, your bank account, even your retirement funds, Jim. A lot of people think that their retirement funds are completely out of reach of all creditors, including the IRS. That's not true. The IRS can reach an IRA and a 401k and stand in your shoes and take that money. So you need to be aware of that, too.
Wow, interesting. All right, we've only got 7 or 8 minutes left. We're going to keep taking email questions unless you want to call in and go right to the front of the line with your IRS problem to address to Dan Pilla. The number is 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. And I've got a question. Okay, this is a good question. Someone wants to know if you're familiar with Neil Bortz and the flat tax. And is that, what do you think of the flat tax?
Yeah, it's interesting because I just did a radio show last week actually Neil Bortz is the fair tax guy, I believe.
Oh, that's
not
right.
He's
a
fair tax guy.
Right.
So that tells you my familiarity. I did a radio show last week on the fair tax and discussed the fair tax is the national retail sale tax. And you know, we could do 2 hours on this alone, Jim, if we wanted to. But the bottom line is that I am in favor of a national retail sales tax as opposed to the current income tax system, and I do not believe that a flat tax alternative is a viable way of fixing the tax problems that we have in this country in terms of the tax code, the administration of the code, the enforcement of the code, and compliance with the code. I think all those problems are not adequately addressed by a flat tax, and the national retail sales tax, in my opinion, is the way to go.
So that would be the fair tax. Now, somebody says, wants to know here, what are the chances that you could go to jail if you owe money to the IRS and you can't afford to pay it? You do hear about people going to jail, like, what was this guy's name, Richard Hatch, the guy that ran around naked in the Survivor TV series? What's the deal on when do you actually face what would be like a criminal prosecution as opposed to just the IRS wants money from you?
Well, that's a good question too, Jim. And I'll tell you, statistically speaking, you got a better chance of being eaten by a shark than you do of going to jail for a federal income tax charge. You know, I'll just give you a couple of statistics here just to kind of put this in perspective. In 2011, there were about 132 or 133 million individual income tax returns filed in this country. That doesn't even include the business tax returns, which the number doubles when you add those in. But just individual income tax returns, about a, call it 130 million individual income tax returns. Of that, about the IRS commenced about 5,000, not 5 million, 5,000 criminal investigations. And even though they commenced 5,000 criminal investigations, they only brought charges in about 2,400 or 2,500 cases. So, I mean, statistically speaking, it's a teeny tiny chance. But the numbers don't mean anything if you're the guy that gets indicted for the tax crime, right? The numbers are irrelevant.
Right.
And so here's where the line is, okay? If you just simply owe money to the IRS because you're broke and you couldn't pay, that doesn't make you a criminal. All right, there's tens of millions of people out there that owe money to the IRS that are not only not going to jail, have no chance of going to jail because they are not criminals that set out to break the law. For the IRS to put you in jail, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you deliberately set out to break the law. How does that happen? Well, if you're cheating, if you're lying on your tax return, if you're hiding substantial amounts of income, if you're dealing in cash and evading the tax liability by hiding, or if you're claiming bogus deductions on your return, let's say you got a business and you inflate your deductions by 50 or 60 or 80% in order to cut your tax liability, that would be a circumstance under which you could end up in jail. So there has to be deliberate fraud on your part, deliberate attempts to evade or defeat the payment of the tax on your part that the IRS can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what will get you in jail.
Now, it seems like they go after, like, famous people more. Is that because they're famous, or is that because there's more money involved? Like Wesley Snipes' case, you know, he's in jail now. I still think he's in jail. Then another, Phil Driscoll is another case. You hear about these famous celebrities being prosecuted and actually sent to prison. Does the IRS get some public relations benefit by going after a famous person, or is it just because there's a lot of money involved?
No, they like high-profile cases, Jim. There's no question about that. The criminal cases tend to be high-profile because it sends a message to the public. Hey, if these rich people who have all this money and can hire all these hotshot lawyers can't win when they're fighting the IRS, what chance do I have to win? And I'm just a little guy, and I can't afford this high-powered legal talent, so I just better toe the line. That's why they go for the high-profile cases in criminal situations.
Now, our last question we're going to take here may not be necessarily in your bailiwick, but we'll hit you with it anyway. Somebody wants to know, how do these big corporations get away with not paying taxes? They're giving examples here of Google, General Electric, and others who, because of, I guess they use international corporations and different strategies, they're able to get away from paying taxes. But this is legal, I guess, that they're able to do this. How does that
work? Well, you know, these generalities, Jim, I hate responding to. I mean, the fact of the matter is that American corporations pay billions of dollars in taxes. Four out of every five tax dollars paid in this country are paid by businesses. And so it's just, I mean, these callers or these questions have to be very, very specific in order to warrant a detailed response. I mean, we've heard for years that rich people pay no taxes. The fact of the matter is rich people pay all of the taxes in this country. The top 20% of income earners in the United States of America pay over 75% of all the taxes. It's not accurate to suggest that rich people and corporations pay no taxes, because it's just not true.
All right, very good. Now, we've only got about a minute left, so let's use that minute, Dan, for you to give people all of your information again. We've probably got a lot of new people just joining us in the last couple of minutes. Your phone number, your website, and some of the materials that you can make available.
Sure. We talked tonight about two things. We talked about my Obamacare report, the Internal Revenue Service as the face of national health care, and we talked about my tax amnesty material, which is a book and some supplement material that goes with it. And it's a great package of material, Jim, that will help people with any tax problem that they have. That material is all available on my website. My website is www.taxhelponline.com. There's no spaces of any kind. taxhelponline.com. My phone number, again, that they can call during regular business hours is 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. When you go to the website on the homepage, we've got a link right there for the tax amnesty material right on top. And to get the Obama report, you just go to you go to research materials, and it's a drop-down menu, and it takes you to special reports. And one of the reports on the list is the Obamacare report. And the Obama report, Jim, is free of charge. The special reports are free of charge. There is a charge for the tax amnesty material.
Hey, it's Dan, we're going to wrap it up here right now. We're running out of time. Taxhelponline.com. Daniel Pilla, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It was good to talk to you again.
All right, sir. God bless. Talk to you again very soon. All right. Our guest has been Dan Pilla. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective.